Welcome to Career Tools. This week, positioning yourself to be mentored. Here we go. When you wrote this cast, you entitled it Become a Potential Mentee, and both of us hate that word, mentee. It sounds like manatee, right? We don't want to call people sea cows. And essentially what we're doing here is we're telling people that you don't just have a good career and just hope somebody just plucks you out of the ether and says, you're going to be my mentee, right?
Yeah. And on the other hand, you don't go up to random strangers who happen to have good titles and say, please, will you be my mentor?
Yeah. Oh, please, sir. Are you my mommy? Yeah. So we're talking about how do you maximize your chances of being accepted as a mentee or being mentored, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do I get noticed by somebody who would mentor me? And who do I need to know to be mentored? And we do have casts about the basics of mentoring. We have a couple of casts for mentors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the fundamental principles that Manager Tools and Career Tools believes in that's not real obvious is that for a long time, management was such disrepute that people said, oh, the answer is mentors. And we actually believe that the answer is good managers. But lacking that, we recommend that everyone have mentors. In fact, we've even suggested that you have a whole board of directors in the sense of a number of people who you can turn to who are more senior, more experienced to give you guidance and so on. But you make an interesting point in the introduction here that what all those mentor casts say, or that the mentee cast doesn't essentially, is that the mentors choose their mentees based on potential.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And if you're not perceived as somebody, right, why would I, as a mentor somebody who doesn't have a lot of potential, right?
Yeah.
Because there's value to mentoring young people who do well. You're perceived as being highly effective, as being a talent scout.
Yeah, there's political capital in choosing good mentees choosing good people to mentor. And you have to understand that that mindset that the mentors have got in order to position yourself, in order for them to select you to mentor.
Exactly. You just don't wait around. You don't do nothing, right? And you have to look like you have potential.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the question becomes, what do you do to stand out as someone who would be worth to mentor? So walk us through the outline.
First thing we can do is increase your internal network. I don't think there's a Career Tools cast without the word network in it. Volunteer for things. Make changes in response to feedback and get results.
Okay, good. So let's talk about increasing the internal network. Gee, I'm really surprised there. You've said many times the most important Career Tools cast will always be about building a network.
Building
right?
your network, yeah.
And how many times, I mean, I know we've had this conversation before, but you and I have started 20 casts at least saying, oh yeah, by the way, we wouldn't have this problem if we had a good internal network or an external network.
That's right.
Okay.
It's true every time.
Okay, so what do I do or how do I do it to increase my internal network?
Okay, so the point of having or increasing your internal network in order to become mentored or to be noticed in order to become mentored is if you're a shining star and the only person who knows is your boss and your shine doesn't go outside of your department, the people you want to mentor you aren't going to know that you exist. If you're sitting
exactly.
At your desk and you are the world's best coder and the only person that knows that is your boss, no one is going to choose you to mentor you and give you all the guidance that you need to move outside of coding and to become the world's first CEO that came from the IT department. So especially in bigger organizations, people tend not to know each other, which is bad, but you can make the difference by going out and finding people. So, and the obvious thing to do, and people have said this to me, is all right, I'll just go and ask my boss's boss's boss. I met him once in a meeting. I'm sure he'll be my mentor. And you go up to your boss's boss's boss, and it's like the guy I read yesterday. There was a guy who proposed to his girlfriend at a baseball game, and she said no. It's kind of like doing that. So what you want to do is become so shiny that he finds out about you. So, and the way you do that is to know a lot of people in your organization.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know what though? I think there are a lot of people who say, I have a good network. I don't know whether it's internal or external, but really isn't my internal network just everybody in the company phone book?
Yes, but do they all know you? And do you know them more than
Well, yeah,
what's
okay,
their
but yeah,
name?
but I see your point, and you and I, of course, agree violently that, of course, people who just work in the company are not in your network. But should we give somebody a simple piece of guidance? What's the way to tell?
If you can call them and ask them for a favor and they would do it for you without question, they're in your network.
Yeah, that's a pretty high standard.
It's a pretty high standard.
And what do we teach about how to get other people to do favors for you?
Do favors first.
Oh,
Give, give,
yes. Give, give,
give.
give, give, give. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, okay. So, really, what we say is we want to know a lot of people and we want to get recognized by more people. And that means to build my networking means starting to do more favors, knowing more people and developing a relationship with them in part by doing favors.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So you can start with your boss's peers direct. So if this were a family tree, they'd be your cousins. So your boss's peers are your aunts and uncles, and their children would be your cousins. And they probably do similar jobs to you, or they work downstream or upstream from you, just because people in organizations tend to have similar roles in similar departments. And you probably see those people, and you probably communicate by the email with them, and you know who they are. So just enhance those relationships to start with. Let them know that if they have a problem with someone in your team or something your team does, they can come to you. Like, don't worry about it. If anything at all, I'll help you sort it out.
When you're implying something there, you're suggesting that that is the kind of vibe you want to give to other people about yourself, right? That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, but there are people listening to this cast who would say, but I don't want to do that. I mean, that's not me. I take care of my stuff. I keep my head down. If everybody else kept their head down, everything would be fine.
Yeah, and you won't be noticed. And if you don't want to be noticed, that's fine. But if you want to be mentored, you have to be noticed.
So, in other words, what you're saying is the head down, I'll get my work done. I'm not going to play politics. I'm not going to create a relationship. It's fine if you're willing to stay where you are and if you don't ever want a mentor and if you just expect luck to tap you on the shoulder every once in a while.
Exactly.
And that person shouldn't complain about not having a mentor or not having as fast a track growth or not having as much success as somebody who makes their shine noticed a little bit more and builds their network internally such that other people are aware of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what do we say to those people who say, well, I don't like that?
Well, I'm sorry that the world isn't the way that you want it to be, but the world is the way it is, and you can either
Well,
play or
I'm going to
not
go
play.
pout.
Okay.
I'm going to pout now. I'm
Well,
going to totally pout. I don't like that.
it's a good thing you're in the audience of a podcast and I can't see you pouting. Perhaps you'll
Yes.
pout for as long as you like,
Yeah.
but you'll eventually come around to our way of thinking, or not.
Yeah. Look, you can be the way you are. You can stay the way you are, folks. Just don't complain about what you don't get. When in fact the rules show, the evidence shows, and the unwritten rules suggest that you have to have a big network internally in order to get noticed. And being noticed and having a mentor, potentially having a powerful mentor, not that that's the only kind of mentor to have, makes an enormous difference in your career. Now, the biggest thing that makes a difference in your career is results. But if you could reduce your results by 2% and increase your chances of being mentored by 50 or 60 or 70%, you're nuts not to do that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you suggested start with your cousins, your boss's peers directs.
Yeah.
Okay. All
Because
right, keep
they're
going.
people that you probably know in some way, and so they're easy to enhance. You're just enhancing a current relationship. And once you've got to know your cousins, you can work out from there. So we've got a cast about who to know in your organization and how to get to know
Yep.
them that has a kind of it has the contacted diamond, meaning that the diamond
Yep.
is widest at the point
At
that's
your
your
level,
level
right?
and narrowest above and below you.
And if you're at the bottom of the organization, it's not a diamond. All you have is a triangle
Yeah.
above you.
Yeah.
And the higher you get up, the more the diamond goes down below you. Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
exactly.
Okay.
So
Yeah.
if you need ideas about who to get in contact with, start there. And if you're in a small company and you're thinking, I know everybody at Manager Tools, I know everybody, your customers or your suppliers or the other people that work in your building, if you only have a floor of a building, do you know the security guards? Do there's all sorts of people to that you meet every day, that you see every day that aren't in your network because you can't ask them for a favor. So there's all of those people to get to know. And you get a chance every day. It's like the easiest thing is, and you don't have to wait for an opportunity to build your network because it happens every day.
It's funny. I think one of the simplest things we can suggest to people is go to meetings with other people that you wouldn't normally go to. Whether you're at that meeting or any other meeting, sit next to someone you don't know, introduce yourself. We have a cast for that. And say, hey, by the way, if you ever need anything from our department, give me a call. Happy to help. Now, some of you might feel slightly repulsed at that, but I really want to have a team right next to yours because my team's going to eat your team's lunch. Because I'm going to teach all my guys to do that. They're going to know everybody in the company, and people are going to call us, and we're going to do favors, and we're going to get the things we need when we need them.
I mean, like, think about how you would treat somebody if they came into a meeting, looked a bit lost, and said, I don't know anybody here, but my name is Richard. Can I sit next to you? Or, like, that person would say, yeah, sure you can.
Yeah, sure you can. Sit right down. Sure.
And if they
Where are
would
you
do it,
from?
if you would do it for them, they will do it for you. There's no need to be shy. Okay, so the next thing we have on our list is volunteer for things.
I'll tell you what, I have spent my entire professional adult life volunteering, fundraising and charities and at work. I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. And I'm amazed at the number of people who scoff. I'm just amazed. It's like, yeah, okay. How did you end up where you are? Oh, well, I volunteered a lot.
Exactly.
So you say, you've told me before that volunteering serves two purposes. What are they?
Okay, so first, it's one way to show your enthusiasm, your willingness to get your hands dirty, the ability to do more than you're already doing. If you can fit in helping out with the bake sale as well as doing your job and getting results, you've just told the people who know you that you can do more. And that's a good thing. And again, if when we say that, your mental chatter says, but I don't want to do more. I just want to do my job and go home. That's
Yeah,
absolutely fine.
exactly. There
But
you
if you
go.
want to advance, you're going to have to show you can do more. And you're going to have to do more.
You're going to have to put yourself in positions where people who don't know you will meet you. I'll give you a classic sort of a parlor trick, which is not a parlor trick that I've done for years with people. In fact, it's a future career tools cast, but we'll hint at it now. People will say to me, I don't want to volunteer because it gives me stuff to do. I get deliverables. And I say, yeah, actually, you do. And that volunteering, those deliverables, if you really believe in the volunteering as a means to an end or as a genuinely helpful thing to do, or both, which is if you're smart the way you're thinking, then you'll end up with more deliverables. What happens is those deliverables now are obligations for you to do, maybe not as important as your primary job, but important enough that you're not going to not do them. And so now you have more to do. This is one of the ways that you end up becoming more efficient and effective at work. It's where the old phrase comes from. If you want somebody to do something, ask the busy person because they're getting a lot done. Now, there are some busy people who are just show busy and just spinning their wheels. But the vast majority of people who are professionals at professionally managed companies that have effective managers in them are getting a lot done. I used to do the parlor trick I used to do was I used to say to people, okay, look, I have calls to make today and I would be doing some training and I had calls to make to clients while I was on the road. And I would say to them, so look, I've got about 20 calls to make. I would make sure that I had roughly 20 calls on my to-do list that day. And I would take bets about how long they think the calls would take. And typically they said, well, there's no way you're going to get them done in an hour. Some people said, 40 minutes, probably 2 minutes a call or something. I said, no, I'll get 20 calls done in 15 minutes. And they just couldn't believe it. Now, part of the reason they couldn't believe it is because, folks, when you think about it, you don't have to make 20 phone calls in a day. You don't. I'd be willing to bet if you check your phone, you discovered that if you take your spouse and or your kids out of the phone, you don't make 20 calls a day. What that causes people to think is, geez, 20 calls, that's a lot. It's going to take them an hour. But you get voicemail on 10. In the other two, you spend a minute or two and you warm up the connection or do whatever it is you need to do. And maybe you have a 5 minute call. Maybe it takes you 20 minutes to make those 20 calls, but it certainly doesn't take 40 and it certainly doesn't take an hour. And I used to do that during my lunch break, and I'd say to them, you guys want to get ahead, and then you're not willing, you don't realize you have to make 20 calls. And they said, well, yeah, you got to dial all that sort of stuff. Well, I had 20 calls, and I made them. And now a lot of them were in my speed dial, right? But they just couldn't believe. They had this idea that it would take hours. And the same thing with volunteering. When you volunteer and you have three things to do, you say, I better get it done because I have a full day at my normal work. And suddenly you become the guy that everybody wants to turn to for stuff because you are always busy, because you're always doing something. Most people who are listening to this cast could double their productivity without a single another hour spent at work.
Oh, absolutely. But I used to do the same thing. I used to race people to do my email. I'd be like, right, I got 75 emails. How long do you think it's going to take me? And they'd go like an hour and a
Oh, an hour.
half. They'd be
Yeah.
like, you're joking. I'm going to have
No.
them done in 20 minutes. And I
20
would.
minutes. There you go.
Yeah, racing is fun. No high D there at all.
Okay. And the other point you've made before is that when you volunteer, you meet people you wouldn't have ordinarily met.
Yeah, like even if it's like a softball match, or if it's, you know, so if it's something kind of not work related, or if it is a cross-functional team, if you volunteer for it, you get to meet a bunch of people you wouldn't normally meet. And you don't want to waste that opportunity by being a bit standoffish and, you know, sticking to your job. Like, be the one who brings the donuts and makes the coffee. And because if you go around everyone and say, hey, I'm making coffee, do you want some? You get to know everybody instantly, and you've got a reason to talk to them. So again, there's no reason to be shy. Just like offer to make the coffee and you've got a reason to talk.
There you go. Okay. You mentioned at the top, make changes in response to feedback.
Yeah. So the most frustrating email you and I ever shared was somebody who asked for our advice. And when
oh my God.
And when we gave it, said, yeah, actually, I don't want to do that. So can you help me do the opposite? And we were like, no, we are no. not advising you to do yeah. something. We're not going to tell you how to do something we don't advise you do.
Yeah, that's the phrase, right? We don't make recommendations on how to do something that we wouldn't recommend you do, which astounded this person. And if I'm not mistaken, he did what he wanted to do against our advice and now is back for more advice. And we told him, yeah, not so much.
Exactly. So you don't want to be the person who puts your mentor in that position. You want to have a reputation for listening to people's guidance and for attempting to do things differently and attempting to be better, because that's why they're going to mentor you, so that you can be better. And if you don't change, if you're not willing to change, if you're not willing to look at your behavior, there's no point in them even giving you their guidance.
So what that means is you have to be willing. And when the change is suggested, you have to try it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people think, oh, I have to give up my old way, even though my old way got me here. Of course, Marshall Goldsmith, our friend, would be happy to tell you what got you here won't get you there. You're probably at a plateau if you're thinking about a mentor or becoming more shiny to mentors, more mentorable, if you will. And what you do is you say, okay, my way works just fine, and I'm going to try this other way and see what happens. And if you're doing something for the first time and you get as good a results as something you've done 20 times, that should give you some clue that the new way is better. Because when you get better at it, it's going to produce better results for you.
Yeah.
Plus, it keeps you from being what so many people are, particularly when they start getting in their 30s. They start thinking, this is the way I do things.
Ugh.
I like this way and I'm comfortable. And what people don't realize is when they're 50, those are the people who are called sticks in the mud. And, oh, he's not willing to change and so on.
Yeah.
Right? Periodically, when I'm delivering, I change things. I delivered today in Reno, and I changed the way I did our introductions. We do introductions the same way every time because we think we have it down, but I change it just to make sure our way was still better. And it was, but it wasn't a slam dunk.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things you and I have talked about before is do things that are uncomfortable, act in ways that aren't natural, and be willing to try stuff.
Yeah, because you can guarantee that the moment the mentor is thinking about mentoring you, he's going to be in contact with your boss or other people knowing you, going,
"Yep,
okay, Bill, I'm thinking about mentoring him. What do you think? Is he good with getting advice and guidance?
Is he just looking for a sponsor, or is he somebody who's really amenable to making some changes to go to the next level?"
Exactly. And you want the answer to be absolutely yes. He's really responsive, listens to what I've got to say, and really tries hard. And you've got to have that behavior first before the
first,
mentor notices
exactly.
you.
Yeah, people are like, no, if a mentor suggested it, I'd do it. What makes you think that that you would do it for a mentor but not for your boss, or that your potential mentor wouldn't call your boss? Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you want to get to the next level, you have to do things differently. You just can't do the same thing and expect a different result, right? So if you want better results, you have to do it differently.
Yeah, you need to learn about S curves and about changing your behaviors, jumping from one S curve to another in order to ensure your future survival. What got you here won't get you there. That's what Marshall Goldsmith says, and it's a great book, and he's exactly right. And last point is get results. Gee, that sounds familiar.
Doesn't it? And it's not last because it's last but not least. It's the one that will have the longest lead time. So you can start your network. You can make a new friend today. You can make changes today. You can volunteer to some for something today. And you can start on results today, but the outcome won't come for a while. So that's why it's last, not because it's least important. And if you want to be the shining star that people notice, you have to get results. It's all about results from relationships. Now, where did we get that from?
Where do we get that? I think the old thing is that people really think mentors are kind of a little bit like rocket fuel, and they're not. They're really not. You don't get one and suddenly become brilliant. Their strategies usually aren't like anything much more terribly fancy than hard work and results, relationships, and so on. And if you learn that now, it's much easier to appear mentorable to them because they know the people who have a lot of potential start with a lot of results in the beginning, with a lot of energy to give more results to the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can start today and decide that you're going to knock every target you're set and all the ones you set for yourself out of the park. And you probably want to give yourself a year and then look for a mentor, because by then you'll be super shiny. You'll have an awesome network. You'll have volunteered for a bunch of things, and you will be the person that people want to mentor.
And I would also suggest that if you decide to do that, and bless you if you do, it's great. We want you to achieve your potential in life. We want everyone to do that. And if your first answer is spending more hours at work, think again. Unless you're single and you don't have any home life, and that's true for a lot of young people, 22, 23, 24, and you're not really going out and partying every night or whatever, good for you. You can go to the gym at 8 o'clock at night. If you want to stay a little bit later, that's okay. But don't learn the early habit of the way to get ahead is just to work 15-hour days, because that is not sustainable. And frankly, it's not something that mentors would necessarily look positively on. Okay, so why don't you wrap us up?
Okay, so we said increase your internal network, volunteer for things, make changes in response to feedback, and get results. So there's your action plan.
Sounds good. Mentors are a status symbol, and you can create that. You can create the situation, but it means you're doing well. The key thing is you have to be doing well before you get a mentor. Otherwise, they're not going to put the time into it. So get some results and then start doing the other stuff as well, and you'll be well on your way.
Indeed.
Okay. Thanks, Wendy.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. It's been a long time since our last mentoring cast. Hope you enjoyed it. Come back next week. See you then.